The blue-gray peaks of the Mule Mountains loomed in front of the outlaws as they continued southward. Clumps of manzanita and juniper covered the steep slopes that were cut by deep canyons. Viola had been in the mules before, but was not overly familiar with them.
Are you going through the mountains?
To go around them would take an extra 2 days to reach our destination.
And what's that? The border?
Chaco had the extremely annoying habit of ignoring questions he didn't want to answer. It always made Viola angry when she said something to someone and they acted like they hadn't even heard her, when she knew good and well they had.
You're wrong about me, you know. I'm not Sheriff Slaughter's daughter. My family's just acquainted with his, that's all.
That wasn't exactly a lie. John had met her father and brothers on a trail during a cattle drive over in New Mexico territory, even before the two of them were introduced.
Even if you're just a family friend, Senorita, you are very valuable to us. A young, beautiful hostage is the best kind to have.
Viola restrained the impulse to drive an elbow back into his gut. It wouldn't do any good. He was built like a barrel, and his stomach was as hard as one. Now that some time had passed since the raid on Tombstone and her kidnapping, her fear had subsided somewhat. She didn't trust the hardened outlaws not to harm her, of course, but she didn't seem to be in any immediate danger. At the moment, she was more angry than anything else, but she knew it wouldn't do any good to give in to that feeling. They reached the foothills by early afternoon and climbed into them. At the top of a hill that would give them a good view back to the north, Chaco reined in and lifted a hand in a signal for the others to halt. He slid down from his saddle, pushed his sombrero back off his head, and raised a pair of field glasses to his eyes as he peered back in the direction they had come from. Gabriel dismounted as well. He stood beside the horse and held up his arms.
Come on, little one. I help you down so you can walk around a little.
What if I don't walk down?
You've been riding for quite a while. And you're not exactly dressed for it, Senorita.
That was certainly true. As a matter of fact, Viola very badly wanted to get off the horse for a few minutes, but she didn't want to admit it to the big bandit. Discomfort won out over pride and stubbornness.
Oh, all right.
She reached down to take hold of his arms as he lifted her off the animal's back. Having solid ground under her again felt good, even though the sandy surface was hot on the soles of her bare feet. Chaco lowered the field glasses.
I don't see anyone, but they're back there. I can feel them coming after us.
Of course they're back there. Sheriff Slaughter isn't going to let you get away with robbing the bank or with kidnapping me. You'd still be better off to release me before he catches up to you.
Gabriel waved a hand at their rugged surroundings.
Leave it. Beautiful senorita stranded in a place like this, full of cactus and scorpions and rattlesnakes. That would be a terrible thing to do.
Viola had to admit, at least to herself, that she wouldn't enjoy spending much time in these mountains on her own, especially in her state of undress. She didn't want to continue as the outlaw's captive, but she had started to wonder if she wouldn't be safer in their company for the time being. Something had to be done about certain situations, though. She stepped in front of Chaco and forced him to look at her. When he tried to turn his eyes away, she moved so that he couldn't help but see her.
I need some clothes and some privacy in which to put them on.
I'm sorry, we don't have any clothes suitable for a lady.
Well, I don't care if they're suitable. Spare shirt and a pair of trousers will be better than what I have on. A hat and a pair of boots or some moccasins would be good, too. So honestly, you can't expect me to ride all the way to Mexico dressed only in a nightgown.
Stubbornly, he looked away from her again, but not before his eyes flicked down to her body, followed by the same flash of guilt she had seen in them earlier.
I will see what I can do.
Several minutes later, Chaco came back to Viola with a faded red shirt and a pair of denim trousers draped over his right arm. He had a pair of moccasins and a flat-crowned hat in his left hand.
This is the best I can do. The pants will be too long, I am sure, but we can cut some off the legs once you have them on.
Thank you. Now there's a matter of privacy.
Of course. You can go behind those manzanita bushes over there.
He pointed to a clump of several bushes that were tall enough and thick enough to provide at least a semblance of decency, although it was possible a few flashes of skin might be seen through them as she changed. Not by Chaco, however, since she was sure he would keep his eyes averted the whole time. She didn't expect such consideration from the rest of the outlaws. Chaco handed the clothes to her and then surprised her by following her over to the manzanitas.
You go behind the bushes. I'll turn my back, but keep talking to me so I'll know you're there.
Such a gentleman.
To tell the truth, she was grateful to him for getting her the clothes, but she didn't want him to know that. Her gratitude only went so far. After all, he was the one who had kidnapped her in the first place.
You haven't told me your name.
It's Viola.
Viola? That's a lovely name. My name is Choco Romero.
All right.
She wasn't about to compliment him on his name.
What made you become an outlaw, Señor Romero?
I am not an outlaw.
You certainly looked like one to me when you were robbing the bank in Tombstone.
That was regrettable, but necessary to further our cause.
You're a revolutionary.
That is correct. My men and I are dedicated to overthrowing the dictator Diaz and the restoration of the rightful rule of law to Mexico.
Viola knew that one revolution or another was always brewing in Mexico, and had been ever since General Porfirio Diaz had taken over as president a little more than a decade earlier. She had no doubt that some of the revolutionaries were sincere in their desire to improve the lot of their countrymen, but she also knew that many of them used the political upheaval as an excuse for looting, raping, and killing. It remained to be seen which sort of revolutionaries these men really were. So far, other than Chaco's stiff-necked prudery, she hadn't seen any indications that they were anything other than bandits. As Chaco had told her, the trousers were too long, but she rolled the legs up at the bottom and saw no need to cut them off. Then she slipped her feet into the soft leather moccasins, grateful for their protection. Walking around barefoot in the desert was asking for trouble. The moccasins were a little loose, but fit fairly well. One of the outlaws must have small feet. She had hung the hat on a branch. She picked it up, settled it on her head, and drew the strap taut under her chin.
Señorita Viola.
I'm here.
She stepped out from behind the bushes. The shirt was a little tight across the bosom, so she had been forced to leave the top button unfastened. She had also rolled the sleeves up over her forearms. Strictly speaking, more skin was exposed than there had been while she was wearing the nightshirt, but she felt more decently dressed.
You look like a little revolutionary yourself, Chiquita. I say you should give her a gun, Chaco. But she would probably shoot us all.
Until I ran out of bullets.
The horses have rested long enough. Everyone mount up. I want to be deep in the mountains by nightfall.